When the first Spanish ships entered the Caribbean at the end of the 15th century, the region stood at the threshold of a transformation so vast that no island community, European monarch, or seafarer could yet grasp its full consequences. For the peoples of the Antilles, the arrival of Christopher Columbus and the expeditions that followed brought war, epidemic disease, forced labor, religious conversion, and the destruction of long-established societies. For Spain, the Caribbean became the first great testing ground of its American empire, a place where conquest, colonization, mining, agriculture, slavery, missionary work, and maritime power were fused into a single imperial project. Yet the Spanish victory was never as complete or secure as it appeared on maps drawn in Seville or Madrid. The islands were scattered across a broad and dangerous sea. Their coasts were broken by reefs, mangrove swamps, hidden inlets, and narrow channels. Their distances from Europe made them difficult to defend, while their wealth made them impossible to ignore. It was in this unstable world, shaped by conquest but never fully controlled by it, that the conditions emerged for the rise of the buccaneers. Before the Spanish conquest, the Caribbean was not an empty frontier waiting to be claimed. It was a populated and interconnected world whose peoples traded, migrated, fought, and exchanged ideas across the water. The larger islands of Hispaniola, Cuba, Puerto Rico, and Jamaica were inhabited largely by Taino-speaking communities, while the Lesser Antilles were home to groups commonly identified by Europeans as Caribs, though the reality of Caribbean identities and languages was far more varied than the Spanish accounts suggested. Villages were organized around agriculture, fishing, craft production, and regional exchange. Cassava, maize, sweet potatoes, peppers, cotton, and fruit sustained communities that understood the rhythms of the sea and the seasonal dangers of hurricanes. Canoes carried people between islands, connecting the Greater and Lesser Antilles with the northern coast of South America. These societies had political leaders, spiritual traditions, systems of tribute, and their own forms of warfare. Their world was not isolated from history, rather, it was linked by waterways that European sailors would soon learn to use for conquest, commerce, and violence. The first years of Spanish rule exposed the brutal contrast between imperial ambition and local reality. Columbus's earliest settlements on Hispaniola were marked by conflict, disease, hunger, and desperation. Spanish settlers had expected to find immense quantities of gold, easy riches, and obedient labor. Instead, they encountered an environment they barely understood and a population that quickly recognized the danger posed by the newcomers. The Spanish demanded food, labor, and submission. When indigenous communities resisted, military force followed. Horses, steel weapons, war dogs, and armor gave the invaders a fearsome advantage in battle, but disease proved even more devastating. Smallpox and other old-world illnesses spread through populations with no prior exposure, killing enormous numbers of people and weakening those who survived. The demographic collapse of the indigenous Caribbean was one of the foundational tragedies of the colonial age, and it reshaped the region long before the great pirate ships of later centuries appeared on its horizon. Spain attempted to organize its new possessions through systems of forced labor, most notably the encomienda. Under this arrangement, Spanish colonists received the right to demand labor and tribute from indigenous communities, theoretically in exchange for protection and Christian instruction. In practice, the system often became a mechanism of exploitation. Indigenous men were compelled to work in gold mines, carry supplies, build settlements, and labor on Spanish estates. Women were drawn into domestic service and agricultural production, while entire communities were uprooted or reduced by starvation and disease. Clergy and reformers occasionally denounced the worst abuses, and figures such as Bartolomé de las Casas became famous for condemning Spanish cruelty toward indigenous peoples. Yet moral criticism did not end the larger imperial structure.